Technogram, Redington's podcast, where we talk to industry leaders and learn their inspiring stories. Today we have Bruce Monjin, who's the Vice President and Postgres Evangelist at EDB. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi, thank you.
How have you been?
Good. Wonderful to be here. It's my first time in Riyadh. I'm really excited.
Amazing.
Yeah.
To start off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce as to how did you get into this interesting world of technology?
Yeah, so I've been involved with computers really since I was in middle school. But when I got to college, I sort of left it for a while. But I was a consultant in the 90s, and I would use databases a lot, and I was curious how databases worked inside. And with open source, I could see inside the database. And that's why I ended up with Postgres, effectively curiosity of how databases work. And I've been working full time since 2000 on Postgres.
Okay. Wow. So you're an expert in this field. So
long time. Yeah.
So can you tell us, how does open source technologies like Postgres align with the Saudi Vision 2030?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, when I started in the 90s, open source was a very niche process. And even today, when I talk to normal people, what do you do? That open source thing always throws them off. Like, you give the software away, but somebody you're paid. It's very confusing. But I've seen, obviously, adoption of open source and specifically Postgres sort of spread across the globe in various ways. So in some ways, for example, in the United States, it was kind of slow. In Europe, it was faster. In Japan, it was actually really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But effectively, the real value that open source brings is the ability to not be hooked to technology that's only developed basically by United States corporations. There's a lot of smart people in every country of the world,
mm-hmm.
and open source in a way democratizes development. So again, typically, no matter how smart you are, unless you are attached to one of those US companies, you can't really improve or work on the source code of much of proprietary software. But in open source, anybody anywhere can get involved. And effectively what that does for the Saudi government is to bring the ability to empower. I think empower is the word that I use a lot. It empowers people who are passionate about software to get involved, to become leaders, world leaders in this technology. It empowers companies to not be basically beholden or dependent on U.S. technology, but in fact, the technology is developed around the world. And then third, it allows the government to have that kind of independence and to specifically grow that technology in specific ways that you may need in this region. So I think it really just opens up a floodgate of technology innovation that wasn't possible before open source was around.
I'm just curious to know, how has the conversation around open source evolved in the time that you have been in the industry?
Yeah, when I started in 2000, our major market was Japan. I know it sounds strange, but for some reason, Postgres was really big in Japan. I actually worked for a Japanese company for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And before starting with EDB in 2006, I've been with him, 18, 19 years now. The early 2000s, Japan was our biggest market. We had a huge number of multinationals in Japan using Postgres very significantly. Then, in later period, the United States started to get big. There was a big push for open source in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
During the Lula administration, and there was a lot of energy for open source there. Europe has always been leading, I would say, open source compared to the United States. So we've always had a huge number of conferences. Germany, Japan, Italy, the United Kingdom have always been really big. We just had a conference in Prague last week. So again, in societies, we basically see three structures. We see the United States and Europe, which typically is a grassroots open source growth. And then we see countries like China, Russia, and potentially Saudi, where the government is sort of more hierarchical societies, where the government is actually sort of promoting open source in a big way. And that can move things really fast. So what I find is there's some countries, some regions that sort of incrementally grow every year. But in countries that are more hierarchical, they have a tendency to resist the growth. And then when the government or the large IT companies start to signal that that's the direction everyone should go in, things move very quickly.
Right.
And I think hopefully that's what's going to happen here. We've looked at the Middle East as a region we've really wanted to grow in, and we've been frustrated, frankly, because we haven't gotten the kind of momentum that we felt we could. So I'm hoping that's part of what's going to happen with this change.
So can you tell us more about what makes PostgreSQL a strong choice for enterprises looking to modernize their IT infrastructure?
Right. You know, when we started in the 90s, we were just sort of an open source oddity. I mean, we had some users, but we weren't market leaders clearly at that point. Mm-hmm. But what's happened, and this is true of open source around the technology sphere, almost all of the IT infrastructure now is open source, mm-hmm. from operating systems to middleware, security, networking, all pretty much open source. And what has happened is that open source has a tendency to sort of grow incrementally. It doesn't have big companies behind it a lot, like an Oracle or a Microsoft, for example. So they grow kind of incrementally, but what happens is because the technology is so good and because the engineering is such high quality, you just continue to get bigger, 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 bigger. So when we started, Postgres was like way at the bottom in terms of like features and performance. And Oracle's way up here. But the cool part is that even back then, I realized that if our growth curve was better than theirs, eventually we would cross it. We probably crossed it maybe 10 years ago. So basically, we're at a point now where all the proprietary relational databases are legacy. Nobody's deploying new on Oracle. Nobody's deploying new on MySQL or DB2 or maybe some people on SQL Server if they like Microsoft operating systems. But in general, we're probably the only game in town now for new deployments, for startups, for companies wanting to modernize. I don't know what else they would choose as a relational database. And again, it's really testament to the Postgres is, I guess, 48 years. Yeah. It's a long time. 1986. So long time. And we've basically incrementally grown where pretty much no one else is really near us anymore.
Okay. So for those companies who still haven't done the migration, what is your advice for them? And, what would you tell them if they have to move from their proprietary database to open source alternatives like Postgres?
Sure. So, in fact, we had a conversation at breakfast about this. People are going to have to move. There's no innovation happening in the Oracle space. There's no innovation really happening except in the Postgres space, for relational systems. So, it's not a question of if you're going to change, it's just a question of when.
Right.
If customers are currently happy with what they have and everything works and they seem to, everything's running fine, and maybe they don't need to change. But effectively, if they need new features, if they need features that are more modern, if they need more flexible multimodal database, one that can do AI and GIS data and full text search and data warehouse and all the many things that we do, then eventually they're going to have to move. And it's just a question of do they want to wait? Do they want to go? But they should be clear, if they're not moving to Postgres now, they're probably just not moving because they don't want to make a change. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But eventually it's probably going to have to happen because nobody else is really growing.
Okay. And how do you see the space evolving the next couple of years? What does the future look like?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and frankly, I wrote a new AI talk this past couple months, and I gave it three times so far the past 2 weeks. And, you know, if I had known that AI would become what it is today in 2021, mm-hmm. I would have been really rich, right? The bottom line is we don't really know where the technology space is going, but what we do surprisingly find is that no matter what new thing is needed, data warehouse, AI, full text search, GIS, whatever, Postgres, because of its extendability, is ready to meet whatever the future need is. And I think that is the secret reason that Postgres continues to grow. Yeah, it's a great database. Yeah, it's reliable. Yeah, it performs well. Yeah, it's open source. There's all these great things. But what no one else can do is to mix all of today's modern data needs, whether it's from social media or from AI or from Internet of Things or all the other websites, all the other stuff that comes along, and bring it into a coherent, manageable platform. Because everyone else who struggles with that kind of halfway does it because they weren't designed to be extendable. Postgres in 1986 was designed to be an extendable database. And because it was designed to be an extendable database, it effectively has been able to, every time a new technology need came, we were automatically ready. For example, when AI came, which was 18 months ago, PG Vector already existed. Somebody was already working on it. We didn't have to do anything. There was no changes needed to the Postgres code at all.
Scalability was always built in.
It was already extendable to new workloads, was already built in. And we look like geniuses. Like, we knew, you know.
Right. But,
and everyone, all the other relational systems are kind of struggling. How do we deal with AI? How do we deal with AI? And we're like, okay, there's PG Vector over there. It's been around for a couple of years. That's exactly what you're going to use. There's nothing we have to change. Everything's going to be stable. Everything's all ready for you. And you just need to go.
Thank you, Bruce.
Sure.
That was amazing. And hope to have you back on the show soon.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.